Ladies and gentlemen, day 52 of the Inner Winner Show. I'm Andy, and today we're interviewing an artist, a bouncer, and a buff as hell motherfucker. How's it going, Sid?
I'm fantastic. How are you doing, Andy?
I am pretty damn good, even though it's cold as shit here, which, like, when I say it's cold as shit in Australia, it's like what you guys would call summer. But I'm a little bitch here when it comes to the cold.
Yeah. Dude, you'd hate it in Toronto, bro. It's cold already as fuck. It's like,
yeah.
It's horrible.
You guys get snow and shit.
And then during the day, it's hot. It's like 20 degrees. It's weird.
You say 20 as in 20 degrees Fahrenheit, right? Which is like zero degrees.
We do Celsius here, buddy.
Hey! Shout out to the metric system.
Let's go.
Fuck yeah. So let's jump straight in, man. What goals are you currently working on right now? Let's just go from there.
So as you know, they don't know. I do art. I'm an artist. I'm a freelance illustrator. I draw. I do commissions for people. And businesses sometimes when I'm really feeling myself. I'm just trying to get myself more out there, get a more internet presence, especially on Instagram, because Instagram is a really easy way to promote yourself, especially your artwork. Yep. It speaks for itself. You don't really have to go out of your way to do anything. You just, the more you draw and you obviously meet people, they share your work. And then, you get bigger, people message you, and then you start making income like that, you know. I finally get a website and then start posting my stuff there where people can just buy it and then make multiple copies. So I'm just making residual income, you know.
So did you start like with Instagram? Because like in my girlfriend's case, because she's an artist as well, she started like on Fiverr and then made an Instagram. Did you get like your first few jobs and shit on Instagram?
No, I actually got my first – shit, you don't have this here. We have Kijiji. You ever heard of Kijiji?
Absolutely not.
So Kijiji is, I guess, so yeah, it's a Toronto thing. I'm an idiot. So it's a Toronto-based sales where you pretty much, you just put whatever you want up. It's like eBay, but you physically have to go get it from somebody, or you guys meet up somewhere and you you can put whatever you want. You know, it's like Craigslist. What am I talking about? It's Craigslist, but in Toronto.
Yeah. Yeah, we got the same shit. We got Craigslist here, and we got like another website called Gumtree, which is like the same sort of shit, yeah.
Yeah, so the first ever thing I ever got was with, I was going to do portraits for people, and I met this lady. I was probably like 17 or 18 at the time, and this lady messaged me, and she said specifically that she's looking for black artists. I don't know. She had like a really, that had to be the thing. It couldn't be anybody else. It has to be a black artist, and she wanted to do a children's book, and at the time, I wasn't really consistent with the shit. I was just like, yeah, I'll do it. You know what I want to do? I didn't want to draw fucking kids, you know? And I did it. I really half-assed most of it. And probably 2 years into it, I went to school. I actually went to animation school. I went to animation school. I went to this place called Seneca College and actually took that seriously and stopped working on the book. So I got better at drawing. So when I came back to the book, I re-scrapped the whole thing because I was like, that's trash. Like, I did that when I was like 17, right? And then, yeah, so I redid it and with better drawings. And then we had two people working. We had someone else working on it to do the colors. And I just did the illustrations itself. It was an African book on a queen. And I did the rest of it on Photoshop. And then we ended up actually canning the guy that was doing the colors and just made me do everything. And then, I did the children's book. It was like fucking 100 and something pages, bro. I dreaded it, dude. I hated drawing. I don't draw kids shit, man. It's all older women anatomy stuff. Yeah. And, that was my first ever job was with that, you know. And that's probably like a 4-year thing when it should have just been literally like 5-6 months, bro. But I was just very inconsistent, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to touch on something that you just said a second ago, where you said like, you looked back at the stuff you'd already done and you were like, holy shit, like this is just trash. I feel like, and every single artist or content creator or like YouTuber, anything like that, blogger, we're always in this like constant process of being like deeply dissatisfied with the shit we've done in the past. It's like you look back and you just cringe, man. Like if I go back and read my first few articles or like listen to the first few podcasts on this show or like my first couple of YouTube videos, it's like cringeworthy as fuck, man. Like,
yeah, I know you feel.
Is that something you struggle with, or are you at this point like fairly comfortable with the idea of like, yeah, I'm always going to be improving and therefore my old art is kind of going to be a bit like shitty compared to what I can do now.
Dude, nah, man. I love that shit. Bro, if you can go back and look at something and cringe at it, it's probably because you got better.
I like that. I'm gonna have to apply that to myself, dude, because I'm like the worst critic when it comes to like my old shit.
Yeah. I feel like based off of your stuff, man, you're very open with your stuff. So I kind of feel like you're not the most judged. You're probably hard on yourself, but you're not hard on other people. But I feel like your stuff's very open. So when you go back and look at it, it's probably genuinely you know?
Yeah. I honestly, it's interesting you touch on that. I think that's part of the reason why I've been so open with everything and just put everything out there. Because it's like, if you have no shame about this shit, then like, no one can judge you. You know what I mean? And like, you can't judge yourself. Like, so it's kind of almost a defense mechanism. That's probably why I've been so open. Because it's like, I'm aware of all my flaws. I don't want to hide anything. Because like, then you're kind of like open to attack, if you know what I mean. Like, what if someone figures shit out that you haven't like dumped out there? So I just kind of went like, I'm just going to dump everything and no one can criticize me.
Exactly. They can't pull up some shit, some tweets from like 10 years ago because you don't give a fuck. You already say this shit now. It's really you. Genuinely you, you know?
Yeah, man. If people went back and found my old shit, like, it'd probably just be exactly the same as the shit right now. It's like so politically incorrect, and like, I'll just say horrible words that you're not supposed to say, like faggot, and like, you're not supposed to say that. Like, I don't give a shit. Like,
yeah, dude, even yo, bro, like, I don't know if you're gonna cut this out, but I heard when you said nigga in the podcast. And I was like, yeah. In my head, I know this guy is not coming. It's all about the context. He's not saying it in the way people think that he's saying it. I know he's a genuine dude. But for some people, they can't understand that. And they're going to take it. That's an easy grab for them to get you. Let's say you're famous now. You're 2 years now. From 2 years from now, you're famous. Yo, we go on fucking Kill Your Inner Loser. Yo, Andy said nigga. Boom, you're canceled, bro. Canceled 2022.
I'd never get canceled, man. I'd never get canceled. I tell you why. Because like... Okay, this is going to sound so fucking politically incorrect. One of my best mates, a dude called Jimmy, like, shout out to Jimmy. I fucking love the dude. He's black, yeah. So I can't be racist, man. And he's, like, one of my best fucking mates. So there you go. That's my, like, race card, right?
It's honestly just about your intent and your context, bro. Like, I do security for my day job. I get called nigga every single day by white people, black people, Indian, any every single race you can think of. And those same people hang around black people. So it's the way they're saying it to me as an insult to get me mad, not that they don't like black people. It's not even, it's all about the intent and the context. Like, you can call me whatever you want. If you don't touch me, I don't give a fuck. You can say whatever the hell you want to me. You call me nigga, coon, whatever you want, bro. It's all about the intent. That's what matters.
Yeah. And I think that's lost. It's funny. We're going to take this massive side tangent into like political correctness, right? Like, I feel like that context shit has been lost for the last like 10 years. Like, people will just take a statement that you make and go like, oh, this guy's intent is, and then they'll just invent your intention. They'll just be like, nah, yeah. He was trying to like offend every black person on the planet, or yeah, he hates homosexuals, or like whatever it is from that. And it's like, bro, you're not in my head. Like, how about you ask me what my intent is and then... Or just look at my actions. Look at my previous actions. I feel like that gets missed as well. Like with cancel culture and all that kind of shit. Like, they won't look at the person and say, well, this dude's always been like a good dude, or this woman's always been a good woman. Like, she said one statement, one word. Her previous actions don't line up with that one word. So maybe I'll give her the benefit of the doubt. Or maybe I'll send her an email and be like, what did you mean by this? Like, that shit just gets thrown out the window and people go like, yeah, no, context doesn't matter, which is like a fucking dangerous slope to go down. Because then we're all guilty. Like, I've said bad shit. You've said bad shit. Everyone said bad shit. Like, should we just take all of that out of context and like put us, all of us, in jail? Like, fucking hell, man. There'd be no one left.
Bro. And it's the same people. The people that have the most to hide are the first to cancel somebody or the first to call someone out. Those are the people that they have insecurities and they want to take it out on you. So whatever you say, we're going to make that the big deal.
It's like projecting.
Exactly.
It's like, if I attack first, then they can't attack me back.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's put him in the spotlight. Don't worry about me. What about you?
Yeah.
And like, even when the first time I'm like, fuck, Andy, why did you say that? Even though I know your intent is not, you don't have no ill intent when you said that word, but people just are going to misconstrue it. It doesn't even matter, bro. There's people that are going to cancel. There's people that are going to bring it up. Dude, that's just how it is. That's society, fam. And I was like, no, Andy, cut it out, bro. Why'd you cut it out? I was like, why did you do it?
Because I can't. To be fair, it's like not a word here in Australia. Like, it doesn't matter.
Problem,
like, It means nothing.
Here in America, North America, you can't get away with that, bro. I'm not even joking.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't be saying that shit in America. Fuck no.
I'm going to get upset. You never know, brother. You have a very positive mindset, but you never know, bro. You get famous in 2-3 years and some fucking dude goes on this website, Killer and Your Loser, and finds this podcast or finds the podcast where you said that shit, and big capital letters on Twitter, Andy, the Killer and the Loser, says nigga. He hates nigga. He hates black people, and you're done. That's what I'm telling you, bro. I'm telling you, think it's a joke.
I hope not, man. Of all the shit on my website, there is like 400,000 other things that people would cancel me for
before that. You're right.
I got backups of shit. Don't worry, man. I've like backed everything up already because I'm like, yeah, at some point, like I kind of started my website accepting that. I even said to my girlfriend, like, I bet you my website gets shut down within like 5 years. But if I can just help enough people in that time, like, it's fine. And then I'll just start doing some more like mainstream shit. Like, this podcast is meant to be a little bit more mainstream, which is funny because I'm like throwing fucking dirty words on the internet out there.
Bro,
but like,
he's raw dogging out here.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go for it. Hey, let's jump out of this fucking cancel culture shit.
Let's do it.
I want you to tell us, because I asked you before this, I was like, do you have any sick stories from being a bouncer, like being security? You must have like 10 million fucking stories, dude.
Yeah, man. The bouncing life, bro, is crazy. That was actually a big game changer for me also, in terms of, I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but in my self-improvement, becoming a bouncer definitely helped me with women in particular. And no, even just confidence in general too. But yeah, man, stories, bro. Yep. Shit, dude. Okay, there's a place. The company I work with, it's a security company, and he has guys stationed at different bars and clubs downtown, right? And you get pretty much every weekend, you either get stationed at the same place or you get moved for whatever reason. And there's a place called Apartment 200, brother. It's one of the dopest bars in downtown if you're ever in Toronto, dude. Apartment 200. There's one in Montreal too. That's where it originated. It's way bigger. It's way better. But the one in Toronto, Apartment 200, you ever there? It's Queen Street. Anyways, yeah, man. So, started my shift, dude. Started my shift. We start at 10 o'clock, goes till 3 a.m. in the morning. And last call is 2 a.m. for us. I don't know what it is for you guys.
Yeah.
It was a dead night. Was pretty dead. It was a Wednesday night, super dead. So probably around like 12, 1 o'clock, I was messaging my boy. My boy was like, bro, I'm out right now. What are you doing? And I'm like, I'm working, fam. And he's like, yo, where are you working? I told him Apartment 200. He's like, I bet, I'm coming down. He comes with his boy. My other boy is black guy. Andy, this guy I'm talking about right now, my friend, his name is Harris. Yo, this guy, I wish you could meet this guy, man. This guy is the epitome. I don't know if you ever heard of a natural. You know what a natural is?
As in like natural with women, you're saying?
Yes. He's the epitome of a natural, man. I can't explain it, dude. This is the guy that would go up to a group of 5 women, dude, and literally have all of them around him on his arms.
What a pimp.
And this laughing fucking, it's ridiculous how he does it. I can't even explain it, dude. Anyways, this is my guy, one of my best friends, man. He taught me a lot too. But he came through, my other boy, I actually forget his name, he's a black guy. He came through, I was chilling until my shift was a little bit over so I could leave. But there was 2 chicks that were inside playing pool. There's a little pool spot and there's like arcade machines and shit. They were playing pool. And then I remember the first thing I see my boy and I'm like, bro, those 2 chicks, pretty digging. It's like one white girl. They're both white girls. One was like a very like army, like very tomboyish army chick. I don't know what she's doing. But my boy's like, yo, that's me. He grabbed that girl and I grabbed the next girl. She's more shy white girl.
Yep.
Anyways, we go up to them and we're just like, yo, who wants to lose in pool or some shit? We start out with some shit like that. We're like, who's going to get their ass bust in pool? And they're like, we're going to fuck you up. That's what they said to us. And we start playing pool. And then we're like, we're going to slap these girls. They're probably trash. Here's the thing. There's 2 girls and there's 2 of us, but then my boy's there. So we have a third wheeler, right? And there's no more chicks in the, no more good looking attractive girls in the bar. So he didn't have a girl. So he was talking to me. He was like, bro, he's like, yo, share your girl with me. At this point, we're already fucking making out with the chicks on the couch and shit. And this guy's there standing, not doing anything. He's like, yo, bro. He comes to me and he's like, yo, Sante, share your girl with me, bro. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Share what? It's not going to work like that, dude. She's not into you. She's into me. And then he's like, yo, bro, what are you talking about? I don't be like that, bro. And I'm like, I don't know, man. And I was, whatever, we're just talking and shit. Anyways, the 2 girls go to the washroom and the washrooms in apartment 200 are shared washrooms. They're not, there's no boy men's and men's and women's, just unisex. Everyone just goes in there and then you go in any stall you want.
Yep.
So this guy, I don't know how this happened, but they went in and then he went in and then apparently gave the girls Coke. He had Coke on him, right? And he gave them some Coke. And then I don't know how to fuck what he was thinking, but he thought he was gonna be able to fuck if they were high or whatever. He gave one of the chicks Coke. And then this is my girl. He gave my girl the Coke, sorry. And then she's like the really shy, timid one. So I guess the leader chick, her friend, wasn't cool with her getting Coke from some random dude. And she flipped the fuck out.
Yep.
Bro, they came out the bathroom stall fucking screaming at each other, bro, in front of everybody. Me and my boy Harris are like, yo, dog, what the fuck's going on, bro? And you see my boy there acting like nothing happened. He's like, I don't know what the fuck. He's just got trying to play it off, right? And then bro, they take it outside, bro, and they start fighting, fam. They fall down the stairs, bro, on the way down, start fighting.
Oh, as in like actual fighting?
Yeah, bro. Try to fight and kill each other, bro. Like real shit. Fell down the stairs, took it outside in the road. They're in the middle of the road, bro, stopping all the taxis and shit. Me and my boy Harris are like, yo, fuck, should we do something about this? And I'm like, yeah, bro, because they seen it. We're the last ones with them. If something happens, bro, they're not from Canada. You never know.
Yeah.
So we're like, all right, fuck it.
Yeah.
So we separate them. I take my girl. I pick her up, bro. I run with her and then separate her from the next chick. And she's still trying to fucking fight her. She has her hair, pulling her by her hair and shit. My boy Harris, he's not too big. This girl's kind of bigger than him. He's having a hard time pulling her off the fucking, pulling her out the street. I take my girl, separate. We separate them. And then his girl calls a cab or calls like a cab or some shit. And then my girl's like, I'm like, yo, where are you guys going? She's like, I don't want to go back with her. I don't want to see this girl ever again. I'm like, what are you talking about? You guys are not from here. You have to go back with her. She's like, no, I want to go back with you. And I'm like, you're not coming nowhere with me. Are you fucking crazy? Emotional white girls and I'm a black guy? Not happening.
Yeah.
And very badly, yo. So first girl, my boy. So Harris goes with his girl. And then I get in an Uber with her and bring her to the fucking apartment or wherever they're staying, the hotel. My boy's like, yo, bro. He's like, yo, you have condoms with you? I'm like, what do you mean? We're not fucking these girls. He's like, yeah, we are, bro. He's like, you think we're just going to leave? I was like, yeah. I'm like, dog, I'm not risking this, yo. This is me 3 or 4 years ago. So I wasn't super like taking risk and shit. Like this is me just beginning bound.
I'm kind of
scared, you know? So yeah, we go there and then I'm like, bro, we're not doing anything, brother. This is getting very badly, dude. These girls are not from here. All it takes is for them to just be like, yo, this guy did this to me or this. And it's just a bad scenario, bro. So I'm just like, fuck it.
Especially when they've already been crazy, like already fucking fighting.
What the fuck? Fighting in the middle of the road, bro? Like, I'm not doing that.
Like the biggest fucking red flag, man.
But, yo, that's how he is, though, yo. He's like the rider, all or nothing kind of guy. Like he doesn't give a fuck. He's all about having fun.
Like a red flag magnet.
Yeah, bro. He loves that shit, bro. So yeah, they get into the house and they start fighting again, bro. And we're just like, dude, you got to get the fuck out of here. I'm not dealing with this shit. You got to get out, bro. He's like, yo, bro, let me fuck. Then my stupid boy, my other boy, the same guy that gave him a Coke, this guy's still there trying to get fucked. Oh, trying to get laid, bro. I'm like, brother, it's a rap, dude. You can't do that.
Well, as in the third wheel. The third wheel guy.
The third wheel guy. Yeah, sorry. The third wheel guy. He was still there trying to get laid, bro. And I'm like, bro, you caused all this shit. We even fucking knew you gave her the Coke. Like, what were you doing, bro? He's like, yo, it's your fault.
So these girls are like high on coke and fighting, and in the middle of the fight, your two bros are like, can we just like somehow get our dick in there? Like in between the fucking fists swinging, yeah, can we just like get our dick in there? Like-
exactly. And then, yeah, bro, we fucking, we cut, dog. We just left that shit. I wasn't trying to do anything with that, bro. Cause again, I was on my pussy shit.
No, that's not pussy shit, dude. That's some red flags.
Yeah, but it could have been a crazy story. I mean, imagine we fucked them, right?
Yeah, no, I'm not judging, dude. I've had my fair share of like fucking insane crazy stories. But like for every one awesome crazy story, you have like a horrible crazy story. You have no idea which way it's going to go. I guess that's part of the fun.
Exactly. What's the point? Like we could have just went home. We never got to see the fight, you know? Like it was a pretty good fight too. Like that chick, the fucking army chick, dude, I think I honestly think she could have kicked my boy's ass though if she really wanted to. If she was serious. Oh, dude, you want one more story? I have another story.
Go on, fire away.
Same guy, my boy Harris. I wasn't bouncing. I had a year where I was doing mad drugs. I don't know if you ever posted anything about drugs, Andy, did you?
Little bit. Like, I've mentioned LSD a couple of times.
Okay, but not like...
But I'm going to do like a full fucking serious.
Not like horse tranquilizer, not Molly, shit like that.
Nah, I got a mate who's tried all that fucking shit.
Okay.
But yeah, no, I haven't talked about it.
Yeah, dude, I had a phase, bro, where I fucking did everything under the sun, bro. Coke, K, fucking not meth or any of that shit, but like there was a place called Comfort Zone, bro. It was an after hours where everyone went after the club and to do fucking everything, all the drugs you can imagine, bro. And it was like house music shit, like that dooms, 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 that type of shit.
Yep.
And I don't fucking like that stuff unless I'm high, right? But we were going there a lot over the weekends, bro, and we're just doing mad drugs. And so I remember, it's towards the end of the night, bro, and this fucking, we're trying to leave, and this girl, one of the girls we're with, it was a group of us, it was me, my boy Harris, again, like I said, this girl fucking, what's the word called? I think she, K-holes? It's called K-hole. K-hole. So pretty much you take too much.
Yeah, like, yeah, and you just go into like a black fucking hole.
Yeah, dude, she was out of it, bro, in the fucking caretaker's office, bro. And we're like, dude, we gotta go, bro. He's like, dude, we can't leave her. So we take her outside. We carry her to the car. We go to my boy's house. Yeah, we go to my boy's apartment. And this girl is Kato in the fucking car, bro. And then we're driving. And oh, here's the thing. Before I forget to say, me and my boy are high as fuck. And we're tripping the fuck out, dude. Like, it was something was laced in the molly we had. And we were fucking tripping balls, bro. I was like, when I tell you, bro, I thought someone was going to kill me. He thought I was trying to kill him. He thought that, man, he thought I was gay, bro. He was like, yo, dog, are you gay? What the fuck are you talking about, bro? Like, you're trying to fuck me the whole night. I'm like, bro, here's your fucking high, dude. And I was going, bro, it was a horrible experience. But so, yo, we get to the Airbnb, or no, it's this man's apartment, and this girl, this shit looks crazy, Andy. When I tell you, we carried this chick into the fucking rec room and left her on the ground, bro. And because we're all high, we don't know what the hell's going on, bro. And we're all just doing dumb shit, playing pool, playing darts in the rec room. And then this fucking girl, we have to leave, right? And so we carry this girl out through the hallway, bro. And the fucking security comes to the, sees us at the other side of the hallway, carrying this girl out. Three guys.
No.
With three, so a black guy, this my Afghan boy, and the next guy carrying this fucking white girl out through the hallway, bro. From the rec room. And then they're like, yo, she's like, this guy's the worst security, bro. This guy's like, I can't remember, it was a girl. She's like, what? She's okay? And I'm like, yeah, she's just sleeping, bro. She's good, don't worry about it. We take this girl out, bro, and we stuff her in the car. Like, it looked like we killed her, bro. We stuffed her in the back of the car.
Jesus Christ, dude. And I'm guessing you're still high at this
point. Yeah, bro, we're tripping, dude. We look like we just committed murder. And we're like antsy and shit.
People who are high as fuck make stupid decisions, by the way. Like, I can attest to that.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. All you had to do is call the damn ambulance, bro. But no one did that.
Because you're too high. And, like, you're paranoid. And you'll think of, like, all these reasons why you can't call the ambulance. And you'll be like, no, no, no. Let's just put her in the boot of our car. Like, that's safer.
Yeah, bro. Like, we're thinking, nah, we're not trying to go to jail and get bum fucked, bro. I'm not doing that. We're just like, yo, we stuffed that shit. We stuffed her in the car. And then we go to my next boy's house in, like, another city. Like, it was, like, probably an hour drive almost, bro. I don't know what was going on, dude. But the whole time, my boy was like, yo, dog. He's like, yo, honestly, bro, if you're gay, you can tell me. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Where is this shit coming from?
Bro, because, yo, that's when you're high, bro. I don't know, man.
It's, like, the weirdest thing to get paranoid about, though, right? Like,
yo, it got worse, bro, because he thought we were trying to kill him. He thought we were trying to set him up to get killed or some shit, dude. It was crazy. Anyways, midway.
That's, like, a bad trip.
Yeah, bro. Midway during the trip, bro, this girl fucking wakes up and kicks the handbrake. Or, like, sorry, my bad. She doesn't kick the handbrake. She kicks the automatic car. So, I drive standard, so the automatic car, she kicked the gear, whatever the hell is for automatic cars.
Yep.
And then put it in like a next gear, bro. And we almost fucking span out on the highway, bro. We almost died. Literally almost died. She wakes up, bro, and she's fucking mad, not even knowing what happened. She's getting mad at us. We're high. It's a horrible situation, brother. And this girl had the audacity to like wake up and be like, yo, she's just acting like a bitch, bro. And I'm like, she didn't even know what we just did to fucking, we saved this girl's life, bro. We almost went to jail for her. Didn't know any of that shit that was happening.
So you didn't even get a thank you card at the end of it.
Nah, bro, you get shit, dude. And I think we went straight to work the next day, bro. We're fucked. At that time, I was working at a restaurant still. Fuck, dude. It's so hard to tell stories. You just tell stories when you're here with me, bro. I can't tell stories on fucking mics.
Yeah. Fucking hell, man. I don't know how to segue from that into the next thing. Let's just fucking jump in. There's like no good segue from that story.
Yeah, you should. Again, this is my opinion. You should have put this towards the, like, later on in the fucking in the list.
No, I love having like the interesting stories early on.
Okay.
Because it's like, you know what you're going to listen to. But then, yeah, maybe like the rest of it is like not as interesting compared to that. I tell you what I should do. I should get people to say like two interesting stories and like have one in the like early on and then one towards the end. Or I'll just edit this and move your story to the end of the podcast.
Word. If you could do that and sync that up and make it like you're God, bro. You're a God.
No, I can't be bothered doing that. I'm going to leave all this in too. Telling people that I'm literally a lazy fuck who can't be bothered editing.
Hey, man, do what you got to do, brother.
You said you had questions about women and relationships. Was there like something in particular you wanted to ask or something you want to chat about with that shit?
My main thing in my life, bro, since I've been growing up, dude, was I had trouble with women, brother. And when I say like, okay, I was decently looking my whole life. Like I'd always get called cute, all this shit, bro. But like I was so pussy when it came to women, dude. Like I remember I had chicks in middle school pretty much where these girls would at the end of the class or at the end of the day, these girls would come and tell me, yo, my friend thinks you're cute. And it should be on the bench. And dude, I would run home.
Dude, I'm not judging. That was my entire high school experience, man. I had like so many girls that told me they had a crush on me or like their friend would tell me. And I'd just shut down because I'd be like, I don't know how to fucking deal with this. Like, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah. I ran home, brother. Ran home, dude. Multiple chicks. It was like, dude, I had some like crazy trauma shit, dude, where I couldn't deal with women, bro. And then obviously porn, bro. Porn fucked my shit up, dude. Porn is the worst thing in the world, my guy.
Yeah.
So yeah. So like, I think the first time I really started taking like the whole pickup thing seriously was when I was 16, bro. And I got my first girlfriend, bro. It was this Asian chick. And I met her on this website called vibe.to. And bro, she was banging. This also gave me my Asian fetish. Like I really dig Asian girls because of this girl.
Asian girls are pretty damn cute.
Yeah, bro. They're so submissive. I really like submissive chicks, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so I took her to a mall that's near my school. All my boys seen her, and they were like, bro, that's your girlfriend? And they were gassing me up. And gassing me up means like hyping me up. I should say they're hyping me up, right? And I was like feeling nice. I'm like, yo, bro, I have one of the best looking girlfriends out of all my boys, and I was feeling nice. And I'm like, yo, yeah, that's my girl. And then it's over the weeks, she didn't go to the same school as me. She went to another school in another city, and so I would only see her on the weekends. She'd have to come down to her dad's house that lived relatively close to me, and I would go there and see her. We would hang out for the weekend, and then she'd go back to where her city, right? Mm-hmm. So I didn't see this girl. Like, I didn't see this girl for weeks, bro. I wouldn't see her for 2 weeks, and all I could do is communicate through text, right, and call phone calls and shit. And then, yo, I find out from her friend, bro. Her friend told me that she was fucking some dude in her school the whole time. Like, I wasn't even really her boyfriend. I was just like, I don't even know what I was, bro, because I didn't even fuck her either, bro. I was scared to have sex with her. I remember she told me, I remember we're in her dad's basement, and she's like, yo, I want you to put your dick on my pussy. That's what she told me. This is the first, I don't even think I, at this time, I fucked no girls at a time, bro. I was like, what the hell is she talking about? Do what? And I'm like, and instead of that, I freaking fingered her instead, bro. And then I guess I don't know if that really did it for her. She's like, yo, fuck, this guy's a waste, man. He's not even cool. He just looks good. And then I found out that she cheated on, I found out she was with a next, she was fucking some next dude in another school, bro. And then I went on some super simp shit, bro. I started texting her and acting like I was texting my boy and it was going to her instead. And then trying to make it seem like I was texting him and saying some shit like, oh, I don't know why she stopped talking to me, blah, blah, blah. I like her. And bro, no response from her anytime, dude. And it really fucked me up, bro. After that point, I'm not dealing with girls again like this, bro. I'm going to become a fucking piece of shit, savage, and I'm not going to, it's not happening, bro. And to this day, I've never had a girlfriend, bro. I've just been on a rampage, bro. Been learning the whole pickup stuff.
That's a really common story, man. Because I had the same sort of shit in high school. It's like you have one or two bad experiences. For me, it was like exactly the same shit that you're talking about. I had this girl that like, we were girlfriend, boyfriend, and I was so over the top needy. I used to message her on like, I don't know if you've ever heard of like MSN Messenger. It was like this like chatting app. Yeah, man. Yeah. So we used to chat like every fucking day for like 6 hours a day after school, right? Like so much. There were so many times I could have like kissed her or like done it, like literally just held her hand or some shit. But I was like too much of a pussy to do that shit. Yeah. And like there was this point where she started like getting closer to this other guy, like this like super fucking jock kind of guy, this like really masculine dude. They got closer and closer and closer. And then one day I saw them holding hands and I was like, but I thought I was your boy. And then I just got so fucking heartbroken. Yeah, dude. Like, seriously. You, And yeah, it's like because I didn't make any moves.
Yeah, it was my fault and your fault.
I don't blame us because we were like younger and shit, but like this is such a common thing. Like, especially in high school, man. If there's any, I don't think there'd be anyone from fucking high school listening to this, but if there is, like, take your shot for fuck's sakes. Like, you, especially if you have like 500 shots. Like, your girl's literally saying, can you put your dick in my pussy? And you're like, I don't know if I'm going to do that.
And it's not because it's coming from a place where I can fuck any girl right now and I don't want to do this. It's coming from you're the only girl I can fuck and I still don't know what to do. It's crazy, bro. Holy shit.
Yeah. 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 Take your shot.
Yeah, bro, for sure, dude. Yeah, but the question is, yeah, the biggest thing even to this day, dude, I don't really like see the way we're sitting here, like we're sitting here talking right now. I'm going to go check this girl after this. I was going to do this at her house and just, I thought I was going to be on cam too. And I was going to be like, yo, let me see if I can just be natural and let her see all this shit, right?
Yep.
And then I'm like, nah, fuck, I can't do that, bro. Because she's on some like relationship shit. She thinks it's going to be a relationship. I'm not leading her on or anything, but she's not the girl I could talk about all this shit. Talk about getting fucking all these girls and stuff, bro. I could tell she'd move differently. I have a girl that I can do that with, but I'm not seeing her tonight, right? But even then, I really admire the fact that you have a chick that you can sit and just talk about fucking girls and she's cool with it.
Yeah, that took a long time to get to though, dude. It really did take a lot of time and energy. Like at first, I couldn't talk about this shit with girls. Like I didn't tell girls that I was seeing other girls. Like if they directly asked me, I would tell them. But like, no way in hell could I be like, hey, by the way, I'm like seeing other girls right now. I'm going to bang other girls right now. Like, I didn't have the confidence for that shit. You just got to start like really, really, really slow, like little baby steps. I've talked about this in a couple of articles. Like at first I was just like, I would say it so awkwardly. I'd be like, so what are you looking for? And then the girls would be like, I don't know, a relationship. Or some of them would say like something casual. And then they'd say like, what are you looking for? And I was so nervous to say it, but I'd be like, something casual. And then I'd be like, please don't hate me. Like, but you do just need to like take baby steps. Like, I want to make it really clear. It took me a long time to get to this point. I wasn't this honest with girls at the start. Like, I couldn't fucking just straight up say like, hey, by the way, I'm having sex with other girls. I remember the first time I told any girls that I was into like self-improvement shit. That was like, I was nervous about that because I don't know why I was nervous about that shit, but like, I just was. I was like, but I'm admitting that I'm a fuck up. Yeah. Like, if I tell her I'm into self-improvement, she'll think like, why aren't you perfect already? And so like, I just practiced telling like a bunch of girls that shit. And then eventually I started telling them about like,
everything.
Not my website, but like Good Looking Loser, which is another website that like, I know, you know, you found my shit on there. I would tell them about that shit. And I just started off slow. I was like, there's this self-improvement forum called like Good Looking Loser. I'm on there. The bros on there are pretty good. And some of the girls would be like, oh, what's that shit about? And I'd be like, oh, it's like mostly for like dating and having sex and stuff like that. And most girls were like cool with that. And then from there, I started opening up and saying like, hey, by the way, I have my own website where I talk about this shit. Hey, by the way, like, do you want to do fucking like BDSM pictures together? And I'll put them on the internet. Are you cool with that? Like, it took me a while to open up with this shit. Probably like 2 years, honestly. This wasn't just like one day I woke up and I was like super open with girls. No, man, I was like nervous as fuck about that shit.
Yeah. I got to a point where I can tell girls my flaws. Like I tell girls my porn addiction. I bring that shit up, but like that's nothing, bro. Like telling girls openly that you're fucking other girls and keeping them still is very, very I don't want to say it's skillful, but it has to come from a genuine place still. Like you can't be worried. Like I'm almost at the point now where I could be like, I can pretty much say to any girl whatever I want, bro, because I don't have just one girl where I could just, oh, fuck, if this is it, I'm done, right? I could talk to whoever I need to talk to.
Yep.
Yeah, bro. Like, I had this one chick, this Asian girl. She's really dope, bro. But even her just now, bro, she just fucking ruined it by saying, yo, she's like, oh, you've been seeing me for, I've been seeing you for like a year. I've been seeing you for like a year now, and you're starting to grow on me. What do you want to do about that? And I'm like, fuck.
See, that's what this shit gets easier. Like, this shit gets easier, man. Like, the earlier you do it, like, I know you say it's hard, but like, if you can do it as early as humanly possible, like, let's say you're on Tinder or some shit, like, as soon as you get her number, you just say something like, okay, if you're nervous, you say it on the first fucking date. You say, like, hey, by the way, like, straight up, what are you looking for? Like, just letting you know, I'm only looking for something super casual, like, nothing relationship. Yeah. Or if you're like, you meet a chick in person, you hit on her, like, at a party or whatever, same shit, like, maybe after the first time you guys have sex. Like you say, like, hey, by the way, like, I'm only looking for something pretty casual. Like, this shit is so much easier the earlier you do it. Cause yeah, there will be some girls that aren't up for it and they'll go away. And that's a good thing because you don't like waste their time or waste your time. And then there'll be a bunch of girls that really like it. And they're like, cool, man. I really like that this guy's like upfront and he told me that he wants something casual. Exactly. Like, that's cool.
Yeah.
And what you'll find is like a lot of girls are like happy to go with the flow. I mean, I think you fucking know that already, right? Like
if you're confident in yourself.
Yeah. And so if you just say like, I'm looking for something casual, she might be sitting there going like, do I want something casual? I mean, like he seems like a decent dude. Like we have fun. He dicks me really hard. Like, yeah, sure, I'll do something casual. And then that same girl, if you had said to her, I want something serious, that same girl will probably be like, do I want something serious? Yeah, sure, I'll go with that. Like, girls are really good at going with flow, especially if you're talking like younger chicks, you know what I mean? Like, chicks under, I don't know, like 20 fucking seven, under that age, especially under 25, like, they'll just go with the flow. If you dump this shit on them, not dump this shit, but if you like are upfront with this stuff and you say, like, hey, I'm just looking for something casual. The earlier you can do it, the more likely you are for her to be like, yeah, sure, that's cool. I'm cool with that. Whereas like you say, if you leave it for like a year and shit and you kind of just have it in the background and you never really have a proper conversation about it, you never really like get it out there. Yeah, at some point she's going to be like, well, what, is it my job to ask you where we're going? Like, and yeah, she's going to like drop that conversation on you.
For sure. It always comes up though. Even I've had girls that tell me they're cool with the whole casual shit and then it always turns into, so where are we going with this? Every time, bro.
You can mitigate that by making it more clear, like multiple times. Like I don't just have the conversation one time. If I'm seeing a girl, I might tell her like, you know, 10 times over like a couple of months or something. I will say it gets easier, like the more open you are with sex stuff. Like you don't have to tell her like, oh, by the way, I fucked another girl. Like,
no. yeah. That's weird.
Yeah. But if she just like knows that you're seeing other girls, you know what I mean? Like
which,
she just kind of knows.
Which they do most of the time, even if you don't tell them, they know that. It doesn't logically make sense stupid. For a guy that'd be good with women and not be fucking a bunch of girls. It makes no sense.
Yeah, they will assume it. Yeah. And I've had the opposite sometimes, like, especially early on, I had the opposite problem. It was like, I was so obviously having sex with a lot of girls that a lot of girls would be like, they would just fall off the face of the planet. They would stop texting me. And maybe I'd text them like 2 weeks later and they'd be like, yo, did you like still want to meet up? Cause like, I thought we had like, this was fucking fun. Like, why'd you stop texting? And she'd be like, well, I just assumed like you're going to be talking to like one of 50 other girls. Like, so it can kind of bite you a little bit.
Mm.
That's probably a good problem to have though, right? Like I got too many girls in my life.
Yeah, exactly. Awareness is a really, really cool place to be, man.
Yeah. Well, because you can contrast that to where you started, where you were like, oh my God, this one girl like doesn't want to be with me. My life is over, right? Like that's where I was, man.
Yeah.
And that's a horrible place to be.
For sure. I still haven't got the whole approach anxiety thing over it. Like I can fuck so many girls, bro. So for me, the date is easy. When you get to go on the date, bro, and it's a one-on-one kind of thing, that's easy.
Yeah.
But the approach for me, I make such a big deal out of it. Like, oh, I'm like, yo, I got to be doing something super smooth and shit. I'm always doing it. And I remember Good Looking Loser, this guy said, don't try to be smooth, yo. And I'm always trying to do that shit.
Are you like going out and hitting on chicks by yourself or like with a bro there?
50-50. Like I don't deliberately go out and hit on chicks. When I'm out, I hit on chicks, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And when I'm with my boy, we definitely hit on chicks. We did this whole thing where it's, we would tell each other the goals. This is my next boy I never told you about. This guy, he's another natural, but he's like the aggressive masculine, like macho man, alpha masculine. Like he doesn't what the fuck he wants. But we would go, we'd be like, we'd see a chick and then you'd be like, yo, go to the next guy. And you had to go right away.
Yeah. I had a mate who we used to do exactly the same shit. We'd just like point to a girl and we'd be like, that blonde chick over there. And then it's like, if one of your mates called you out, like you have to do it. Like you can't just be like, nah. Sometimes you like make these excuses out of like nervousness. You'd be like, nah, she's on the phone, or like, nah. And you just kind of look at each other and you'd be like, bro, don't be a pussy. Like, come on now. You got to do this.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that shit makes this a lot easier.
Accountable. Yeah, holding accountable. And it's easier if you don't think about it, is when it becomes easy. Because once you think about it, you start fucking second guessing yourself and shit.
Yeah.
That's hard to come back from that.
Yeah. That's probably been my biggest trick, is like this trick of like you say 3, 2, 1, go. And like when you say go, you have to fucking go. Like you're not allowed to think. I used to tell myself in my brain, like a military, like a drill sergeant or something, I'd be like, your job is to fucking do. Your job is not to think. Like you are not being paid to think. Shut the fuck up and do as you're told. And like, yeah, I'd just be like, stop thinking. Like fucking, because I'm an overthinker, man. I think so. I'm in my head so much, especially when it comes to like hitting on girls. So I'd just like scream at myself in my head, like, shut the fuck up. Stop thinking. Go hit on her. And yeah, I don't think you can think your way into talking to girls. Like, I don't think you can think your way around anxiety or nervousness. Like, no. I think you just have to fucking do it.
what is it called? State? I think. You ever heard of that?
Yeah, State, yeah.
I used to pride myself in going to clubs and not drinking and just fucking killing it.
Yeah, I used to do the same shit, yeah. Like, it was like a challenge, like, how much can I endure while everyone else is drunk? Can I be fully sober and have a good time? Takes practice, but yeah.
Yeah.
So are you doing the Approach Anxiety program? Like the Good Looking Loser Approach Anxiety program?
I was doing it when you were doing it, but I kind of just, now I'm on some bullshit. I just skipped a lot of steps and just fucking go straight into it a lot of times. But again, I'm not consistent. So no, I'm not doing it.
I've seen other people skip the program and just jump straight into talking to girls. But like you said, the thing is you have to be fucking consistent. Would you consider something like talking to one girl a day? Like, you know, some arbitrary number like that. Force myself to talk to one girl every single day so you can build up like that habit.
That's fucking reasonable for sure. Yo, here's the thing, Andy. This is, bro, like when I'm really killing it, I kill it, dude. Like when I, oh man, if you see me when I'm talking to chicks, sometimes it's just so really, 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 really good, bro. And then there's times where I just can't do it. Mm-hmm. It's fucking weird, bro.
Yeah, it's very arbitrary, man. Like I will just have days where I'm nervous. For like no reason whatsoever, like no reason. And then another day, it's like you're on top of the world. Yeah. There's like no rhyme or reason to it. It's fucking random.
But you still do it though.
Not right now. Not with the fucking lockdown No.
I meant the times when you felt awkward and nervous, I feel like you would still force yourself to do it.
Yeah, but I still pussy it out a lot, man. Like I've made this point to like heaps of my coaching clients and shit. Like you don't have to completely overcome your anxiety in order to have any success. I'm fucking nervous all the time. You serious? Like, especially when it comes to talking to girls in person.
No way. I can't believe that.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Like I read an article called Anxiety Doesn't Go Away. You just stop caring. The nervousness is always there. You're just like, yeah, fuck this shit. I've dealt with this like 3,000 times. Why would I care that I'm nervous today? The nervousness doesn't necessarily go away. It reduces, sure, but like it's still kind of there. You just don't care anymore.
Got you.
Shout out to your Apple alum.
Nice try, but it was Android.
Fuck.
Yikes, brother.
So another thing that you asked was, you asked me for like philosophies that I live by. Like, did you have any answer in mind that I'd give? Because I wrote down a couple of my five biggest philosophies. But did you have an answer in mind that you wanted me to give?
Like, yeah, just things that you live by. Like, there's no, like, just as I said, like, if you were to go talk to a chick, there's, let's just say for you, no matter what, you have to go. Right, but that's just an example. Just say, when you talk to people, how do you go about talking to people? Are you trying to gain something? Are you trying to have a good time? Are you just trying to learn? Like, what is your like mindset for that?
Okay, I get you. Yeah. Okay, this is good because that's what I thought you were fucking asking with the question. I'll say like the biggest one, man, is like I want to add more good to the universe. Like I want to leave this fucking planet or leave this existence with the world like a little bit better than when I got here. Like that's like at the fucking core of my being, like everything I do. So if I go up and talk to a chick, it's like, I can't guarantee that she'll have a good time or anything, but like, I want there to be a good chance that she's happy that she met me. Same as like when I'm hanging out with my bros, that's the reason I do this podcast. Like everything I do is like, when I die, I don't want to have any regrets. I want to be on my deathbed and be like, yeah, I think I like added a bit to the universe, right? There's something more there because I existed.
Yeah.
It wasn't a waste of time. On that same note is like, I talk about it sometimes like non-aggression principle, as in like, I won't tell people what to do. Like I'll give advice and shit like that, but like, it's not up to me to like force anyone to do something. Like I'm like a fucking hippie in that regard, like a fucking LSD. It probably actually is from all the LSD trips. Like I just want everyone to fucking be happy and do their own thing. And as long as no one's fucking with anyone else, like that's my core principle. Like I don't want to force other people to do shit if they don't want to do it. Mm. I think another one is that it's okay to suck. Like I talk about this all the time.
Yeah, I read that.
Give yourself permission to suck. I'm fucking horrible with like most of the shit I do, dude. Like you're supposed to be when you first start shit. Like everyone sucks at the start. And there's this like weird, I guess it's ego. It is ego. It's like this arrogance that people have. I used to have it too. It took me a long time to get over it. This arrogance to think that like if I start something new, I'm not allowed to be shit at it. It's like, bro, who the fuck are you? Yeah. Everyone else has to suck when they start something new, but you're so special that you get to just do a good job at the start. Like, no, sorry, you're not special. You're a fucking like mess like everyone else. You suck. That's okay. Just fucking get over yourself and accept the fact that you are going to suck. I suck. You suck. Everyone sucks. The world sucks.
Yeah.
And you get better at time.
Well, I don't suck. You suck, Andy, but not me.
You suck. Hey, your mate was asking you if you suck when you guys were high. He's like, bro, you suck?
No, yeah, bro, he was. Fuck, got me.
Straight up, yep. Because we can go through like more philosophies I have, like the slight edge, like being a little bit better than you were the day before. Another one I've talked about is like running towards fear. So yeah, there you go. Maybe that's a good answer to your question. Like if I am scared of something, like talking to a girl, in my head, I'm like, no. If I'm scared, that means I have to do it. Yeah, yeah. And it's like, I think that just comes from like, you know what I'm talking about? Like that masculine feeling of like, I can't be a pussy. I got to do this. I don't know what the fuck that feeling is, but thank God we have that feeling because it's like, it makes this shit so much easier.
Yeah, dude. But you know, sometimes I even think about it, I'm like, why the fuck am I scared about what this girl thinks about me, dude? Like she's, bro, for average chicks, dude. I'd be like, yeah, I just want to say hi to this girl. And I'd be like, yo, what if this girl goes like, fuck you, you're ugly or whatever, right? And I really don't care, but I don't like the actual, when it actually happens, bro. I guess I'm not used to it yet. Because I don't get, to be honest with you, Andy, when I do go up to girls, I don't get rejected that much. It's just I don't do it enough.
And okay, it sounds funny, but it's almost like you need to get rejected really badly a few times to realize like nothing that bad happens.
Yeah.
I didn't really start getting over like all the anxiety and shit until I got some bad reactions. Like one girl literally told me to fuck off.
Yeah.
Another time I had some like other woman came in and she was all like, she just like literally walked in. She turns to the girl and she's like, are you okay? Like, is this guy like harassing you? And I was like, what in the fucking Christ? Like it was fucking humiliating and shit. But like you need that to happen. Like, I don't know, maybe like 10 times. Nothing worse than that happens. Like some girl telling you to fuck off is not that bad. Some other woman coming in and saying like, is this guy harassing you? That's not even that bad. One time I was at like a university campus and this like security guard came up to me and shit. At first I'm like, oh fuck. Like am I, and he's just like chatting. He's like, what are you doing? And I'm just like, oh, I'm just like chatting to some girls, man. And he's like, okay. But like, if any of them complain, I got to kick you out. And like, I shook his hand and he was like, yeah, man, like it's cool. Keep doing it. But just like, make sure you're polite to the girls. And I was like, sweet. Like those are my like worst ever reactions. That guy was a fucking G, man. I love that guy.
Yo, and it's crazy too. Not when, my boy, bro, like this guy, again, he's jacked. So this guy talks to girls, bro, and their boyfriends are like right beside her. And these girls don't say that. Like, they don't say that's my boyfriend. It's like, what the fuck? Bro, and these, yo, it's crazy, dude, what girls will let you get away with if you're confident, bro. Because like I said, he's confident. It's not like he's macho aggressive. He's just very confident, dude. The way he moves, like especially at the gym. Talks to everybody. He's helping everybody with their sets and shit. Like, there's nothing he's not gonna say to you. He'll definitely like I said, you'll see girls squatting and shit, and go behind them and be like, "Yo, your squat form sucks." You'll say that to her, and she'll be like, "Oh my god, do you really?" And then he's joking, and they know he's joking, but like the way he does it, it's not awkward, and they could tell it's natural, bro. And this guy, fucking, he doesn't even know how good he is with women, bro. It's so weird when I ask him like how he does shit. He's like, "Yo, bro, I don't know. I just fucking do it." I'm like, "Bro,
I wish I could do that." Yeah. But let's translate that into like actual advice that we can give like to other people. Like if anyone's listening to this right now, you saying like, hey, be confident. It's like the average person can't just fucking be confident.
No, you're right.
Like you can fake it sort of. How do you get more confident? The first thing, I'm going to throw this over to you. Like the first thing I would say is like, go to the fucking gym.
Oh, for sure. Right? Like
go to the fucking gym.
For sure, bro.
Lift some weight.
For sure, brother. A good segue right there. I like that one, Andy.
If there's a newbie who's like never been to the gym, like what would you say to them? Like they've never been to the gym or they're at the beginner stages. Like what's one tip or maybe a couple of tips that you would say like to make it fucking happen in the gym?
Okay. First things first, you got to know your reason for going to the gym and what your goals are for going for the gym and who, well, let's say you idolize somebody. Arnold Schwarzenegger is a good example.
Yep.
Find somebody that has a body type that you like similar to your body type that you can achieve. Don't look for no steroid. Some guys are just on steroids. Look for someone that's reasonably strong and has a good body. Try to follow their routines. Follow it to a T and see if it works. If you're just starting out, you're probably going to gain muscle very quick, especially if you haven't worked out in your whole life.
Yep.
That's when the good gains start in the beginning because your body's not used to any of this shit, so it has to grow. It has to do something, right?
Yep.
And again, it's also all about your eating. Like I would say majority of it is your eating. I think I would say 70% of it is eating, man. If you want to gain weight, especially if you want to get big, like it depends on what your goals are. Like I said, if you're trying to get big, you got to eat and do all your compound exercises. Don't do any of that fucking bullshit the Smith machine, don't do any of that bullshit. Don't do any isolation. Do compound exercises. Do squats, deadlifts, and bench press. You do those three things, build your foundation, get meat on your body, gain weight. And then when you start getting, I guess when you reach like a plateau is when you start adding in the accessories. You start doing leg press, leg extensions, fucking lat pull downs and stuff like that. You start adding in other exercises. But the biggest thing I could say, find somebody that you like that has a nice body that you want, and then fucking try that routine and see if it works out. And if it does, stick with it. If it doesn't, just fucking focus on compound exercises. You'll build a foundation.
I really like that. That's like very similar. Well, that's exactly what my fucking coach got me to do. Like at the start, I had no idea what the fuck I was doing. Yeah. Right. So I was like, I'm just going to pay some like big buff dude, paid him like $100 an hour. He's like a proper fucking coach and shit. And he was like, all I'm going to get you to do is squat and bench and deadlift. And I was like, what about all the other accessories and shit? And he's like, no, because you don't know what the hell you're doing. So you're going to get decent at squat and bench and deadlift. I'm not going to give you like 30 exercises that you can suck at. Like,
girl,
just figure out these three and go from there. Yeah. And I like what you said at the start where you said like, you want to figure out what your goals are, like why you're doing this shit. I think a lot of guys, and tell me if this is your experience too, but like I've seen a lot of guys that will come in and be like, well, I want to go to the gym for girls, but maybe that's a shallow reason. And so I'm not actually allowed to say that. So I'm just going to pretend that I just want to go to the gym for going to the gym. Whereas like, in my opinion, and tell me if yours is different. If you want to go to the gym for girls, like fucking just admit that. Just be like, I want to get laid. That's why I'm going to the fucking gym.
There's no shame in that, bro. There's no shame in admitting you want to fuck girls. that's our natural, like this is what we want to do as men, bro.
Yeah.
And if you can make it easier, why the hell not, right? And be healthier at the same time, like two birds, one stone.
It's like, it's a really good excuse to have a good, healthy body. Not excuse, but like if you're going to the gym for girls and then you also get a healthy body out of it as well, and you'll live longer and your body will feel better and all that kind of shit. And people will be nicer to you because you look better and clothes will fit you better. Like fucking go for it.
People don't understand, more important than anything else, people with that look good are treated better. And especially if you take care of your body, people will treat you better because they can understand the amount of work you did to get your body like that.
It's mind-blowing if you haven't been. I started out like really fat and just like losing the weight, people started treating me like 50 times better.
Yeah,
and then when you start getting like a little bit of muscle on you and like you wear a tight-fitting shirt and shit like that, like people just treat you like a fucking, I won't say like a movie star, but it felt like that to me because it's like I'd just been ignored my whole life. And now all of a sudden, like, everyone's being nicer to you. It's easier to get laid. Mm-hmm. People at your workplace treat you better. People on the street will fucking look at you. This is a weird one, but I swear to God, I had more strangers. Like once I lost all my weight, I had more like strangers would come up to me on the street and be like, hey, I'm lost. Can you please give me directions? Yes. That shit never used to happen when I was fat. Like it just doesn't. It's weird, but it doesn't. Like people just don't, you're invisible when you're fat.
Yeah.
Or if you're super skinny, same thing.
Yeah. But caveat here, don't get it twisted, dude, because you could look good all day, bro, but nothing trumps game.
Like actually pulling the trigger, like doing something.
No, I mean like learning how to get women, like game itself, like getting better with women. You can look good. I know a bunch of guys that look good that don't get no pussy. I know a bunch of guys in the gym that get no pussy. They look good, nice bodies.
Yeah, because they're not doing anything. That's the point. I think what you're saying is that you can't look good and then just sit there and like hope that girls will just fall on your dick. Like the world doesn't work like that. You're a man. You do have to actually make the fucking move. Yeah,
which it will happen, bro. Don't be surprised, dude. Like I said, a majority of the girls I fucked in my life prior to Good Looking Loser, prior to Killer Your New Loser, were based off of my looks, bro. Girls just fuck me because I look good. Like, dude, when I tell you, I'm not trying to rub it in, but like I'm the definition of a good looking loser, bro. Like I literally just had a good body my whole life.
I've seen your pictures.
I can't gain weight. I can't get fat, bro. Like, knock on wood, probably a couple of years when I'm, whatever, 32, whatever, I'm going to start gaining weight and shit.
Yeah, you'll be some obese, like, fucking neckbeard sitting on the couch eating Doritos.
Yeah, for sure. Dude, like I said, majority of girls fuck me, dude, because I look good. And then, you know what the worst feeling, Andy, is? When a girl finds you super attractive and then she realizes that you're a loser. That's, in my opinion, I'm speaking from my opinion, but I think that's worse than a girl shutting you down for being ugly is when she finds out that you don't live up to the hype and she's disappointed, bro. Shit hurts, fam.
Yeah.
Dude, I've been with girls. Bro, I was with girls. I remember I was in a car with this chick, dude, from my work. This white girl with a fat ass, bro. I wanted to fuck this girl, dude. I go on a date with this chick, bro, and we go to my driveway and we're in the driveway. this girl's like looking at me like, so what are we doing kind of thing, right? But she doesn't say it. And then I'm just like, all right, gotta go. And I leave the fucking car, bro. Again, just like when I was just like when I was a kid, bro. It's like a recycle, fam. It's the same shit, dude. And this girl, I could see it in her face, bro. She's like, yo, this guy's a bitch. And he looks like that. Like, what the fuck, bro?
At that point, it's like a fucking habit. It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy where in your mind, you're like, nah, I'm a loser. And then so like you run out of the car to like prove it right.
Yeah. Or I avoid the possibility of getting the fucking L.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I'd rather just.
Yeah.
I did. I'm the one that said no. She didn't say no to me. I said no. I got out the car.
Yeah. It's like, you can't fire me. I quit.
Exactly. Exactly. You're not going to get it. I'm going to leave. Fuck that shit. Right?
Yeah, man.
Me avoiding. Like reality. And the joke is, here's the fucking crazy part, Andy. That same girl, this is crazy. Now, like this, when it hit me now, I found her again on Instagram. Well, I had her on Instagram for the longest time, but I never talked to her, right? She was 3 years older than me. I'm 26 right now. I met her when I was like 22 or 21. And I remember I lied. Me and my bro used to work at the same place, the restaurant, right? She was a server. And I lied to her about my age. I told her that I was 1 year younger than her. You know, I wasn't, right? Like I said, went to the driveway, couldn't fuck her, got out, right? Years later now, probably this is summer, this is before the quarantine. So this is probably like, no, probably during the quarantine. Damn, it must suck in Australia, bro. This is during the quarantine.
Yeah.
I just hit her up again on fucking Instagram and I'm like, yo, let's go for drinks. She's like, cool, let's do it. Met her at some bar, dude. I was like the only black guy there. I was in like really fucking white place downtown. Went out the bar, talked again. When I got there, I right away just start talking to people so I could just build myself up. So I'm not fucking awkward. Came in, everybody's looking at her like, yo, this girl's nice. Look at her. Why is he with that kind of girl? What the fuck? Talked to her. She had some drinks. Went back to her place, bro. I remember this when it was so surreal, bro. I had her bent over, bro, and I pulled down her fucking leggings, dude, and I seen her fat ass. I was like, yo, this, bro, 4 years ago, I got out the car, bro. And now I have the same girl bent over, bro, and I'm ready to fuck her, dude. I never had the thing is I fucked up, bro. I didn't bring any condoms, bro. And she was like, it's not happening, right? And then we go to the bedroom and take this in, Andy. I remember this. This stuck with me. I get on the bed and I go over, right? So she can suck my dick. I'm going to put my dick in her mouth, right? And then she goes like this. She grabs my dick and she goes like, say please. And I'm like, no. I'm like, in her mouth. What the fuck? She's like, no, say please. And I'm like, I shouldn't have to say please. What the fuck is this? I'm not like, we're not in high school. We're not in elementary school. And then I move her hand and try to put it in. And she's like, no, say please. And I'm like, all right, fuck this shit. And I put my pants back on and I went to sleep, bro. I was too drunk to leave, right? I couldn't drive home. But just think about that. The fact that I was able to just be like, if I'm willing to say turn down head if I don't say please.
And that sounds like, I know like people might listen and be like, ah, that's a funny story. But like, that's a huge fucking deal, man. I had the same shit. I had a few times where I walked away.
Yeah.
It's like the ability to just know that you can walk away because you don't like something. It's like, holy shit, the power. And I don't mean power in a bad way. I mean, in a good way. It's like the self-respect that comes from that, knowing that you're not just going to like compromise and shit, that you're not going to like sacrifice your principles and shit just for some pussy. All of a sudden, man, like, that I feel like every man needs to get to that place where he feels like he has options.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have to just say please like a little bitch.
Yes, bro. I don't even give a fuck what your reasoning is. If you want to get married, you want to get relationship, you want to do a long-term relationship, whatever it is, you need to fuck a bunch of girls so you can realize how unfulfilling it is so you can handle yourself in a relationship.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of guys get married and like it's just the first girl that was nice to them. And then it's like, well, that's probably not going to work out long term. Like, good luck to you if it does. Like, I hope it does. I don't want you to fucking get divorced. But like, Jesus, man, like, how do you know that any other girl on the planet wants you? You haven't checked. You never tried.
Exactly, bro. You have no experience. You don't know what to do when this girl's feeling moody and she's on her dumb shit. And it's, bro, you're not prepared for that type of shit. And then you waste 4 or 5 years living with this girl that she's probably whatever, a six out of 10 or whatever, bro. And then she fucking dumps. She fucks some other guy. She fucks some guy named Chad. And then you're here now 5 years in, no experience. You only fucked one girl. Now what? All that experience gone, dude.
Yeah.
When you could have been meeting women the whole time, you could have been getting your shit together, having experience. And when you finally find the girl that you really fuck with, you know what to do. So I don't believe when anyone tells me they don't want to fuck girls or they want to just have one girl, that's some bullshit, dude. You probably do, but you can't. You need to get your shit together. You need to be able to fuck girls. I agree with good looking Chris from Good Looking Loser when he said that. He's like, you have to get this shit handled. You have to.
Yeah.
Any man, you should be able to. Sorry to go, I'm rambling right now, bro, but I'm really passionate about this shit. You need to be able to get a girl at any time when you want her. You should be able to do that. Every man should be able to fucking do that.
Because it's a tough one. Like, some guys do say, like, I want a relationship. And then it's, like, really hard for me to say, like, fine, if you want a relationship, fine. Like, go for that. I'm all for that. But, like, man, you have to at least interview a few different candidates before you fucking give one girl the job, right? Like, imagine you're a HR person and you just hire the first person that walks in the door. Like, what the fucking Christ?
Exactly.
At least go on a bunch of dates or something, fine. If you're, like, religious or something and you don't want to have a ton of sex, fine. Oh, yeah. At least, like, date a few girls for fuck's sakes. Like, exactly. Have, like, 50 dates or something and get some experience with that. Yeah. Don't just grab the first girl that comes along. And I would say the same shit with girls. Like, maybe it's different. I'm not saying you have to go out and fuck, like, 50 men if you're a girl. It's a little different. But, like, don't just date the first guy that's nice to you. Like, have a bunch of dates or take your time a little. Like, shop around a bit before you just, like, commit. Too many people in relationships commit to the first person that's, like, nice to them. And it's like, fucking hell. If that's your barrier for entry, someone just has to be nice to you. It's like, you have no standards at that point. It's like, that's like 7 billion people on the planet are pretty nice.
Yeah.
Like, you're just going to pick any of them?
Exactly. And it's self-worth, bro. Like, you got to know your worth, bro. And I don't, in terms of women, I don't think it's similar at all. Women don't really have to work. They don't really have to do anything when they're meeting men. A lot of times, it's the guy that has to deal with all the fucking bullshit, all the shit tests, all the, like, just all the dumb shit girls do, bro. All, yeah, man, dude. Like, girls, like I said, I think girls have to just show up, bro, to be honest.
To be fair, guys do some dumb shit, too.
No, of course. No, you're not. Sorry. What I'm saying, when you're going up to a girl, it's you a lot of times going through hurdles and you trying to entertain her and you doing the stuff. It's you doing everything and she's more reacting to you. And over time, as she starts to see that you're attractive, it changes where she starts doing it. She starts changing.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Right? And like I said, at the end of the day, a girl lets you fuck her. You don't let her fuck you. You know what I'm trying to say?
Unless you're a movie star, but that's a very fucking different story.
Exactly. That's an anomaly, bro. Not enough of us like that, right?
That doesn't count.
Exactly.
Let's segue. If someone wanted to get started with like art or like content creation or like YouTube, like you mentioned before, but they have this fear of like, but I'm shit and my stuff won't be good enough. What's like one tip that you would give them to like get over that shit?
If you, your whole life really liked art and you just either had people tell you that it's not worth it, or you didn't see there's money to be made, or you just did it casually kind of thing, the first thing I would say, you would have to really, really want to do it, man. Because art itself, it's a very saturated industry. And it's not necessarily about being good, because there's art that sells for fucking hundreds of thousands of dollars and it's just canvas. It's just paint on a canvas, bro. And it's just splattered all over the place. So
yes,
you art subjective at the end of the day. Figure out what you want to do. Whether it's fucking abstract shit, graffiti, Photoshop, even logos. Logos are underrated, man. Making a logo is very fucking hard. It's a different type of mindset you got to have.
Yeah.
Art from what I do. I draw a lot of anime. I do a lot of people. I enjoy drawing anime and specifically people. I really enjoy that shit because I grew up watching that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, I had to learn anatomy, muscles, skeleton, the bones, rib cage, pelvis, all that shit. You had to learn how to draw those things and learn how the muscles work, learn how the joints work. And it changes the way you look at certain things because it's not easy, but you can draw a bunch of stuff. But when you know how it works, you can draw it realistic and you can change. You can pretty much do whatever you want, right? That's the biggest difference. Like if you know how something works, if you know how lighting works, if you know how perspective works, like 2-point perspective, 3-point perspective, you need to learn all that shit before you jump into it if you want to really get nice with it. If you're just starting out, man, just make sure you really want to do it, man. And especially if you're older, I wouldn't know how to start off, to be honest. For me, I've been drawing since I was fucking like 6 or 7 years old, bro. So I always had a passion for it. You have to make sure you have a passion for it. That's all I can say.
Yeah, I feel like if you just give a shit about something, like you're going to make it work. Like if you really do like art, ignore anyone who says like, oh, you know, you won't make money from that, or that's stupid, or any, like, just ignore that shit and just, like, chase your passion. I know that sounds cliche as fuck, but just, like, shut up and do it. Like, if you like it so much, just do it.
you sound like fucking Shia LaBeouf.
Just do it. I fucking love it. Shout out to Shia LaBeouf. I watched that movie he did recently, Honey Boy. Like, fucking good movie. I really like that shit.
Wait, is that where he's a repo man or something?
No. It's the one where he, like, plays his, like, domineering father. Like, he literally plays the character of his father being an asshole to himself. It's really fucking good.
Oh, shit. I missed that one.
It's worth fucking seeing. Last question. If you could go back and tell your past self one thing, what would that be?
You're fucking sexy, dude.
That's what you tell. So, okay, come on. I got to call you out here. You had your mate saying, like, bro, are you sure you're not gay? And then you would go back in time to tell yourself that you're sexy.
I would go back and tell myself I'm sexy as fuck, yeah. Straight up.
Fair enough, man.
And I don't know if you really know what that means when I'm saying that. It didn't even have to be sexy. It could be like, yo, dog, you're hot as fuck, you're confident as fuck, but specifically sexy because I didn't really know how good looking I was.
Yeah.
And even if it sounds serious too professional, it comes with the confidence. Like, there's people that are confident because they look good, and there's people that look good because they're confident. I'm the first one. I look good, so I'm confident, right? Which that, I have to admit it, bro. That's how it is, right? So I just didn't know that. So the whole time I was going through life, like, I was fucking weird and just wasn't attractive, even though I was. So that's why I would say, if I go back and say, yo, if I could see myself when I was, like, about to hit high school, and I seen a future version of myself, and he goes back and told me, I would say, yo, you're fucking sexy, bro. Straight up.
That's one of the hardest things as a dude. Like, it's really hard to know if you're attractive or not. Like, it takes a while. Like, you could be attractive for 3 years before you figure it out. Like, whereas a girl, it's like, you're going to figure it out, like, by the time you fucking hit puberty, right? Like, you're going to have 500 people tell you.
It's different, brother. I'm telling you, women have it, in terms of the dating game, they have it easy, bro, because guys are reassuring to them that they're very attractive all the time.
Yeah, like, hundreds of times a day.
Bro, DMs? Instagram DMs, man? Oh my God, dude. Ridiculous, brother. Ridiculous, dude. The average, like, the equivalent, the average six has the same amount of attention as a relatively famous guy that has his shit together.
I've made that joke many times. I've said, like, the average woman is a male celebrity.
Yeah.
you just are. You're just a celebrity by default, which is fucking cool as hell. Like, I wish I could trade places for one day to feel what that feels like. But, like, yeah, sometimes when you explain this to girls, they're like, wait, what? Like, I know that a lot of people like me and shit, but, like, do you not have girls tell you that you're sexy all the time? And you're like, no, why the fuck would that ever happen? Like, it's only going to happen if I, like, specifically hit on her, or if I spend enough time with her, or, like, at a bar or a pub or a club or something like that when she's a bit drunk. Like,
yeah.
Random girls don't walk up to you and tell you you're sexy. Why the fuck would they do that?
They do it to me still.
Well, you're just, like, orders of magnitude better looking than the rest of us, you asshole.
Bro, yo, it sounds so weird saying it, bro, but it happens. Actually happens a lot, bro. I would say it probably happens 3 out of 5 days, dude. But it's from, like, ugly chick. It's from ugly girls. Ugly girls will come up and tell you you're attractive, but pretty girls won't say it.
Ugly girls are sweethearts. Like, I mean, I guess they have to be.
Yeah, because they have to make up for it. They have the best personalities, bro. That's what one of my goals was, to turn an ugly chick into a sexy bitch.
Yeah, like a self-improvement project. Yeah. Fuck yeah. Like, mentor.
And then I backed out because I was like, nah, I'm not trying to do this. I actually went on Tinder. I met a girl and told her, I'm like, yo, come to the gym with me. It was this Asian chick. And she was like, are you serious? She started laughing my ass off. Are you serious? And I'm like, yeah, but are you serious? She's like, yeah. I'm like, all right, drop your number. Dude, I have stories, bro. Shit. This is the last story. But anyways,
okay.
I meet this girl on Tinder. I meet her with her friend, and I'm like, yo, I'm just going to come check you out and see if you're what I'm working with, kind of thing, right? Because I was going to train this girl for real. And then I see her, and she's fucking smoking cigarettes and shit. And it's just like, oh, sloppy as fuck, dude. I'm like, oh, this is going to be a hard one. And I'm not no personal trainer. I don't know how to really train people. I just know how my body works. But I have an idea of how to get someone started, especially a chick. So I'm like, okay, let me fucking do this, right? So I pick her up and I meet her friend or whatever. And then we go into the gym to start up a membership for this girl at the same gym I'm working at. It's called World Gym. Bro, on the way there, I have a modified car right now. My car is, like, fast. It's decently fast. And it's raining outside. Fucking this girl hypes me up and she's like, yo, I want to see how fast it is, yo. And I'm like, oh my God, my tires are trash, bitch. Don't let me do this. And then me being me, I'm like, I got to do it. And in the middle of the road, buddy, I just give it a little gas, bro. It's raining outside. Tires spin, and I lose control of the car, bro.
Yep.
Spin around. I do this whole fucking 360 spin in the middle of the main intersection, brother. Everyone's honking.
You got to just play it off and pretend that you meant to do that.
Bruh, dude, it was intense, dude. Everyone's honking you and shit, bro. Like, the good thing about it, like, I'll give her credit because I did this exact same thing before and I actually crashed my car because the girl panicked and it caused me to panic. So I didn't know what I was doing. I pressed the brakes and she fucked my shit up. But this time, this girl was actually pretty chill. She actually went like, you got this kind of thing. She's like, you got this. And I'm like, all right, yeah, I got this. And I saved it in the middle of the road, right? Turn the car off. So I didn't go to the fucking gym after that. I'm like, nah, bro. We're not going to go there. I'm just going to call it a day, right? And I actually drove her back to her car. But then we went on a little small date went for a walk and shit. Over time, I wasn't really going to try to fuck her, but she started liking me, bro. And towards the end of the date, this girl tried to kiss me and I kind of dodged it. I did one of those like side dodges.
Yep. Turn the cheek.
I dodged that shit, right? And she kissed me on the cheek or whatever. And then I messaged her. And it's over time, bro. I was just like, she's like, yo, so what are you doing? We set up the date and everything. I'm like, yeah, we're going to go. We're going to sign up. We're going to do a workout, right? The day came, I fucking didn't do it. I was like, yeah, I'm tired. Just do it 2 days from now. She's like, all right. 2 days from now, she messaged me. She's like, yo, are we doing this? I just didn't respond, bro. And I just completely blocked her, dude. I stopped doing it. Yo.
Could have been the start of something beautiful, bro. She could have been like your fucking wingman or something. She could have been like your gym partner.
Yeah.
You guys could have been crushing squats and deadlifts together.
I know, right? Fuck. I have two girls right now that are actually working out because of me. This was the first girl I ever told about my whole porn addiction and shit. She's super cool, down-to-earth girl, man. This girl's fucking smart. Smart girl, bro. She's like 23 or 22 right now. I think she's Lebanese. I forget her background. Mm-hmm. But I met her at UFT, a university. I went to her dorm and fucked her or whatever. But we just chilled over time and I just started being honest with her. Like, again, this is while I was reading your website. I think it's not me versus you or some shit.
Yeah, it's me and you, like on the same team. Yeah.
Exactly, right? So I'm like, yo, let me try it, yo. And I started opening up to her. I just opened up to her, bro. And this, I've never done that before in my life, Andy. And then she was just one of those girls that dig the emotional part too. Like, she wasn't just for the looks, right? Because I think I'm pretty sure I was out of the league, right? But she didn't know that I had all that, not baggage, but all that fucking trauma shit. And I told her everything pretty much, bro. And this girl fucking loved me after that, bro. And then I'm like, I even told her, I'm like, yo, she came over recently, dude, and she kind of gained weight. And I'm like, I can't fuck you. I'm like, I'm not attracted to you like that anymore. She's like, really? And she took it like a champ. And she was just like, I'm like, yo, you should go to the gym. That's what I told her. And she's like, how long? And I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, give me a certain time and I'll do it. And I told her until November. This was, I think it was April or May she came over. And she's like, all right, so November, I'm going to lose weight. And I'm like, yeah. And so it's coming up, right? And she told me she lost 10 pounds already, bro, but she's already doing her own thing. So
what a champ.
Yeah, bro.
What a champ. It was great talking to you. I really appreciate this. This was fucking fun as hell, man.
Yeah, I agree too, man. I appreciate, again, like I said, I appreciate everything you've done for me, Andy, even though I didn't pay you for anything.
You don't have to pay me to
free content. Thanks.
No worries,
bro. Yo, that's crazy, dude. Your website, bro. I send it to my mates. I don't even say mates, but I send it to my boys, bro. And these fucking guys don't know what they're missing out on, man. But you can't force them to do what they don't want to do, right?
You got to spread the love. Spread the love.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, man. I will leave a link down in the show notes below to your Instagram so people can go check you out on there. And thanks again, man. I really appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, Andy.
See you, dude.
All right.